You're listening to Parenting Today with Dr. Bob Barnes from Sheridan House Family Ministries. I'm your host, Ruthie J. Today is Talk Back Friday, a day where we ask the questions that have been sent to us through the website parentingtoday.org, or just sometimes my own questions, because I always have a lot of questions. I'm kind of new to this parenting thing.
Well, we all have questions. It's hilarious. It's easier to sit here and talk about it than consistently live it and consistently do it. We've got to believe that what we're doing is the right thing and the thing that God wants us to do, because there are times when you wonder, how much longer until my kids get it? And unfortunately, when they finally get it, they're 18, they're awesome, and they leave. Finally, when they're fun to have at home, they leave. But I think it is a long journey, and I have the extra privilege that most people don't have, of not only raising my own kids, but spending 40 years helping with other people's kids at Sheridan House, and watching where we take a child in one of our residential programs and watching them go from out of control or despondent or whatever to all of a sudden they get it. And then watching this child just become this awesome thing. So much so that last year, we had a great end of the year last year. We finish every year where every one of the children's homes invites that particular middle school over. Each of our children's homes, they're middle school children's homes, but each one of them goes to a different public middle school. And one of the schools that came over to one of the houses, one of the boys' homes, the teacher said, I came here today. She said, I know all these other teachers know all about Sheridan House, and they're here a lot. I've never been here before. It's the end of the school year. You invite us over for lunch. But I came here because I just want to tell you, this one child, and let's just call him Eddie. Eddie came to school the first day of school. He was despondent. He was moody. He didn't look you in the eye. And all of a sudden, by the end of the year, he is just glowing, and he's doing so well. I just wanted to see what you do here. and it was a great moment. It was a great moment for God. It was a great moment to say, well, what we're doing here is we're leading him to Christ, but then we're also helping him lead himself towards Christ, and help him not give his attitude to somebody else. Because Eddie, the year before, his dad had died, and his mother went in a hole emotionally, and Eddie was mad at everybody. And unfortunately, at the middle school level, when you see a child like that, you tend to emotionally poke at him even more. And he was just this sad little case. And then all of a sudden, watching him become a star, I mean, an absolute star, beaming so much. If you showed two pictures, you would think it's not the same child. But he learned to not let other people control his attitude. And he learned to deal with his pain and talk about his pain and process his pain. And so I get to see that. I get to see the results of 100 plus kids a year get that. And so it gives you courage to know if you stay the course, your home can be an absolute nightmare atmosphere if they're all picking on each other all the time.
Yes.
But if we let them know we're on the field to play, when you step out of bounds, there's a consequence. When you learn how to deal with it, that's awesome. I am cheering. That's a touchdown. You got me. You own me. Way to walk away from that. I heard what she said, Roby, and you walked away. Tori, I saw what he did, and you walked away. That was absolutely awesome. Huge. Thank you for doing that.
Well, and this week we've been talking about sibling rivalry. I just have a question about Sheridan House. You bring in boys and girls.
Right.
Are they usually only children, or do they have siblings? And do they have sibling rivalry with their roommates there at the
It's all
campus?
Of the above. And usually the children, over 80% of our children at Sheridan House come from single-parent households. It's not always, but it's a pretty strong indicator. They could be in blending families right now, but they spent part of their life there. Generally, they have siblings at home, which is one of the reasons that when a child comes to Sheridan House, the majority of the payment to keep your child at Sheridan House is participation. We have the child with us Sunday evenings all through the school week, and the child goes home Friday evening with a prescription of what mom needs to accomplish with this child as she's kind of taking back control of her home. And then we kind of review it with her Sunday, and we review it with her Thursday evening. All parents are on property Thursday evening for parent seminar every Thursday evening. And so what we want to do is help them handle this, but we want to help the child handle himself and go home better. So every home, the boys' homes, it's three boys to a bedroom. The girls' homes, it's two girls to a bedroom.
Says a lot.
It does say a lot. In fact, here's the difference. The homes are gorgeous. The homes are better than we could imagine. Multi-million dollar homes that with this community in Broward County. God has just made the Christians rise up and build these beautiful homes. But in the process of this, the girls' homes all each have their own bathroom. Each bedroom has its own bathroom. Every bedroom, two girls to a bedroom and bathroom. The boys' home have this big locker room. It's awesome.
What happened to the whole sharing idea then with the girls?
The girls just didn't share a bathroom well. We realized we're going to have to get up at 3 a.m. to get ready for school because there's something wrong with your gender. I don't know what it is. All the things you feel you have to do before you
just
go to school.
Just take longer in
the
bathroom.
Yes, but with the boys, it's totally different. We have to make sure they take a shower.
Yeah.
It's just a whole different middle school age mentality. There. But they have three boys to a bedroom, and one boy is the team captain.
Oh.
And it's that boy's job.
They have the alpha
to help. Yes. Well, it's his last thing before he leaves Sheridan House is to be a leader of those other two boys.
Okay.
And there's almost an hour's worth of chores every morning before breakfast, even.
Okay.
So they get up, one room gets up and cleans their room, and then goes into the kitchen and sets the table and gets everything ready while mom makes the meal, and then they clean up. Mom doesn't wash dishes. They clean up and go back. So what will usually happen is one boy stays in the room and he sends the other two into the kitchen. Another room will have their bedroom and the bathroom to clean. And then the third room will have a bedroom and the living room. And then there's a special room for a single guy who's the last boy to leave. He's getting ready to leave, and he's in charge of everybody, really, and has a little higher level of privileges. But what happens is the lead boy, the team captain, has to learn how to motivate without yelling and screaming. And he has to learn how to get them to do the things they need to do without yelling and screaming, or they all go to that whole team goes to bed at 7:30 that night. So it behooves them to get on track and do what they need to do.
That's interesting, because I know earlier this week we've been talking about sibling rivalry, and you brought up a point where the oldest child, you have to put certain expectations on the oldest child and say, this is, you're the oldest, you are the leader here, you are, how does that work into, I mean, I know it works at Sheridan House, but in the family atmosphere, if it's a girl, you have an oldest girl, I'm the oldest of my siblings in my house with my stepkids, now I have an oldest boy. So it's been an interesting process to sort of explain to him, you need to set the example. And sometimes I feel like, do we really have to tell him that? Does he have to be that much of an example to his siblings, or why that weight on the oldest?
Raise him to be a leader. I want to help him learn to be a leader. I wanted to help him learn to what leadership is, not bossing people around. It's a servant spirit. But I also am going to give the oldest child not only more responsibility, but more privilege. You know, why does she get to stay up later? Because she's older. Why does she get more allowance? Because she's older. So with it comes privilege. But I want to call my children always to a higher level. I don't want to dumb down parenting. I want to always call them, and I want to make it realistic, but I also want to affirm it. In everything else in life, refuse to settle for mediocrity. You know, hey, kids, we're going. Roby, you're playing soccer today. You got a game. Don't try real hard. Just run around and pick clovers. No, I'm cheering his effort. I'm cheering his effort. Why would I settle for mediocrity in family?
Mm-hmm.
That was great what you did for your sister the other day. And you know, when she came walking out and dropped something and you went back and picked her up, helped her get it, that was great. I want to call my children by cheering for them, by just saying, that was great. I may encourage them to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Roby, you were the one in the room, our oldest child in your case, you were the one in the room when all that happened, and you had an option there. Let's talk about the option. Well, I know what you're going to say. I could have stopped the argument. Yes, or you could have just walked away, but you had an option, and that's what leaders do. Sometimes you've been good at that, and I'm just encouraging you to be a leader. And that's also the child. Every now and then I'm going to say, hey, let's go get a soda, just the two of us, and have a little. I need to mentor that leadership, and I need to help them by mentoring and letting them know what I expect of them. But I need to also be a great encourager when I see an inch, just an effort to do better. You know, just when the oldest one is being nicer to the irritating youngest one, which is always the way it is.
Always.
And just that, you know what? I know she irritated you, and that was really cool the way you handled it. I want to thank you for that. That was leadership. And I want to label it for what it is. Not just oldest. That was leadership.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for that.
Mm-hmm. Talking about sibling rivalry, what do you do when that child that just gets offended by everything?
Mm-hmm.
We have one, everyone loves to pick on her, and she gets so upset. I don't know how many times I've told her, they pick on you because you get upset. If you didn't get so upset and you would laugh with them, the game's over. And so she doesn't quite get it. But you always have some of those children that are ultra emotional. They just get hurt by everything. Do you stop the picking on her when you know that's just kind of part of the family dynamic? They're just playing around and they're really not saying that bad things. Yeah. She's just getting so hurt and overreactive.
Well, I think let's decide the end goal here. The end goal is to help them be able to grow up, go out of the house and function. And the end goal is to help them go out of the house and not decide I'm going moving to the Himalayas because there's no people there and I won't have to deal with people who are mean people. And certainly don't stay in South Florida. But I want to see the end goal, and the end goal is to raise up a child so that they can go be used by God and not really be so sensitive for themselves, but maybe sensitive, other-oriented sensitive. Mm-hmm. So I would continue to do what you're doing. If it's vicious, I would stop it. But if right. it's just kids, you got a blue silly band, you should have got a pink one, whatever it is, then I would let her know. You're actually being their video game now. All they have to do is push that little button and you start hopping up and down. So you're choosing to do that. I don't think you know that, but I want to help you choose not to. And when I find her with everything in her, when I hear it coming and it's predictable and you know it's coming and you kind of walk in and you kind of watch and you kind of keep your eye on her when something is being said and she's trying to control herself, I think I'd break in at that moment before it gets out of control. Mm-hmm. I say, you did a good job right there. You did a very good job. I'm very, very proud of you. You did a great job. You took the remote control. Remember when I took the batteries out of the remote control and I handed it to you and said, I want you to put this in your bedroom for a little bit. I want you to keep that remote control. Don't give it to every person that walks by you because there's an A on there for getting angry or upset mm-hmm. or whatever it is. Don't let them push that button. And you did a great job. I'm very, very proud of you. You did an adult thing today. I want to affirm that control. But there's even a self-centeredness about, you know, nobody's allowed to say things like that to me. And
they always pick on me because yes, of that.
Yes, and I want to help them and see the end result. The end result is not, and you've alluded to this all week, and it's very good, it's not just peace and quiet and raising little robots. There are times to get out of the way. The end result is to raise a child that God can use, mm-hmm. is to train them up in the way they should go so that when they're old, they won't depart from that training. Mm-hmm. And then they can be used by God. And so this whole thing of sibling rivalry and this whole thing of learning to walk away and this whole thing of learning to control me is part of the training. Mm-hmm. But we miss out on the affirmation when I see them attempt to control themselves.
I know we don't have too much more time, but you alluded to it earlier this week when I guess Roby asked, well, Dad, when do I stand up? You encourage walking away when there's fighting, but when do I actually stand up? What do you tell your kids?
Well, when do you stand up and fight? I don't think you fight your siblings. Well, do you ever fight when you're being challenged out in public? And I said, everybody has to decide this for themselves. And what I discern from scripture, Robe, is if somebody says a mean thing to me, I'm walking away. If somebody bumps into me in the hallway, I'm walking away. But when I walk by some bullies picking on another child or a smaller child, even though I may pay a price walking in there, yes. It's time to walk in. I think that I am called to walk in and serve other people and defend other people. And I think Jesus would have me do that.
Because I've heard someone told me that a psychologist said that sometimes it's good when you defend yourself and you put the boundaries, even with siblings. And for example, I'm thinking of sharing and you say, no, I'm not going to share that. Mm-hmm. And almost encouraging them to at least make a decision on that, because in the future, you know, they shouldn't be sharing things like their body and things like that.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah.
So having a decisive personality is good, and you want to encourage that, even though it turns into fighting when they're young.
But I think there's a difference between boundaries and hitting. And I think there's a difference between boundaries and even hitting back. Boundaries are, yes, I'm allowed to say no. In fact, I need to learn to say no, especially for that pleaser child. But the whole long discussion on when is it right, is it ever right to get into a fight, and when is it right to get into a fight? And every little boy wants to know the answer to that.
Of course.
And they want to hear from their dad on that, and they want to, and then they're going to say, Dad, did you ever get into a fight? And they would, you just want to be prepared for those questions. But yes, it is important to have boundaries, because people will take advantage of you all your life. It's okay to say no.
You've been listening this whole week to Parenting Today on the topic of sibling rivalry. If you missed one of the previous broadcasts, you can listen to them all over again online at parentingtoday.org and even sign up for the daily blog, which fleshes out these ideas a little bit more. So sign up and share with your friends online at parentingtoday.org. If you want more information about Sheridan House Family Ministries that we've been talking about today, you can find out online at shfm.org. It's short for Sheridan House Family Ministries. That's shfm.org, and there's a wealth of resources there as well. So we hope you join us again on Monday for another edition of Parenting Today.